I would like to take a few minutes and read a little piece from John chapter 4. Now, because you know this chapter so well, I want to be very selective and very short in the readings. Verse number 3. Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs pass through Samaria, or it was inevitable that he should go through Samaria. If you can visualize Judea in the south and Galilee in the north, and wedged in between them with the Mediterranean Sea on one side and the River Jordan on the other side, if you can imagine Samaria wedged in between, it was in fact the direct route between Judea and Galilee in the north. But just one slight problem. The Jewish people who lived in Judea and in Galilee were not very good friends of the people who lived in Samaria. And the significant key verse to the whole chapter is verse 4. He must of necessity pass through Samaria. Now let's just read verse number 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, that they are white already to harvest. For many, many years I attended missionary meetings, right from being a boy. And this verse was inevitably read at nearly every missionary meeting. And the speakers would tell us about the worldwide mission field. White, over what? The word actually, I think, understandably means overripe. Unless someone quickly gets into this field and harvests this wheat will rot. But it was only in later years that I realized that, strictly speaking, the Lord wasn't talking about the worldwide mission field. He wasn't talking about going over the seas. He was just talking about going up the road to Samaria. And as you know from John 4, he went to Samaria and he plowed a field. And he sowed a seed, and he reaped a harvest, sitting on a well. Supposing the Lord had said to his disciples, I want you to go and do some research, some market research in Samaria, and come back and tell me how these people are ready or able to receive the message of the kingdom. What do you think his disciples would have said? Reverently speaking, Lord, have you taken leave of your senses? We're not even talking to the people. But he showed them how wrong they were. And so, in very many ways, I pick up this verse and think to myself, yes, the Lord did not call me to go to India or Japan, but just 30 miles up the road from where I was born and brought up to serve the Lord for 45, 46 years. Then in 1980, something quite remarkable happened, which I can't go into at the moment, but the door opened in 1980 for me to understand something about Romania. And in 1984, I had my first visit going to that country. And I went as a visitor, a tourist in one sense. That was what was on the visa. I was in government service and I was taking time off to go with a friend. And so I want to conclude reading by reading to you verse number 38. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye had not labored. others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Romania was a country I only knew was in Eastern Europe, behind the Iron Curtain. I had not prayed for it. I had not given to it. I knew nothing about it, except that its capital was Bucharest. And so the Lord saw fit, perhaps in a sense, to answer teenage prayers. And at the age of 55, I went on my first visit to Romania. I have been preaching a special sermon ever since then, and it's to the over 55. I preached this message in a large conference in Scotland 5 years ago. I threw out exactly the same challenge. Do you have a mission field abroad? Do you have missionaries abroad? What about saying to them, I'm going to come and see you. See where you are. Sit where you are. Pray where you are. Eat where you are. Weep where you are. And in that conference that afternoon, a brother of 65 ended up in Zambia and Central Africa. So my brothers, it's not too late, and even to my sisters, to encourage the believers. Now I must leave the scriptures at that point. So very much more could be said that would thrill our hearts from this marvelous chapter. Now I am coming off this elevated position and coming down onto the floor beside my projector and show you one or two pictures for a short time, if I may. No, I think I just put them on it. Now I have to be very, very selective this afternoon because of time, and I want to begin to talk to you briefly about one or two of the main areas in which I have been involved. Now, one of the things that we did when I went, first of all, in 1984, was to realize that in the teaching of the Word in Romania, that there was a tremendous need for it. But because of the communistic situations, it was impossible to travel basically from assembly to assembly, and everything was done in a very secretive fashion. And so it was in 1991, after the revolution, that so great was the need of the assemblies in Romania that we actually, in the central part, in the city of Sibiu, we built a Bible school to see if we could expedite the teaching of the Word. Now, I want to distinguish between a Bible school and a Bible college. In this particular establishment, nothing, only the Scriptures, are taught. And in 1991, we bought a building, and we extended the building it 3 stories tall, and in order that we could sleep 35 and accommodate 70. And these believers came from all over Romania for the teaching of the Word. Now there are 600 assemblies in Romania, and the average size would be about 400 believers. So it is a massive organization or organism of the Church of God. The Romanian believers in communist times were in an expansive mode. There were little ripples of revival happening all the time. And those churches at that stage, there was about 400 of them 10 years ago. There have been roughly 200 new ones established in the last 10 years. That comes from a splitting up of these huge big assemblies which were not allowed to expand into new buildings. There are hundreds of brethren evangelists in Romania, so it's not a missionary country. But there is a dreadful need for the teaching, the expositionary teaching of the Scriptures. And so, the Bible School. This is a picture of Dr. David Gooding, who some of you may know, whom I was able to persuade to go with me to Romania last May. And he gave 2 weeks to this Bible School. The first week was 70 elders from many assemblies, and the second week was 70 evangelists. First week he spoke in 1 Corinthians, and the second week in 1 Kings. And this is just by way of illustrating how we preach in Romania. We don't have the language, so it's done by interpretation. I would just like to say this to you before I remove this particular slide, that our dear brother Bill Forward from Eastern Australia has been a tremendous source of help in Romania. I have met this brother and I have preached with him, and I have been deeply moved at his ability and his commitment and his humility to be able to get down to the level of the Romanians and impart to them systematic theology in the Word of God. And so today I laud him and applaud him as one of my fellow workers in Romania. Just 2 weeks ago, I got an email from the brother who runs the Bible School to say that they've had now 3 consecutive months in the winter time, when the weather is so poor and the bulk of these people are so poor. They work in little farm holdings, the majority of the rural people. There's nothing they can do, so they come to the Bible School. And over the last 3 months, 80 people have been attending from Monday to Friday each week. Now, when you come to teach in this Bible School, you begin at 9 o'clock in the morning and you go through to 1 o'clock with 2 breaks. And then you have your lunch, and then you have what I call a little bit of horizontal meditation for about an hour, and then after that a little walk, and then back again for another 2 hours from 5 o'clock until 7. So you have 6 hours each day from Monday to Friday. This means that the concentration of Bible teaching is really very intense. But they are so keen and so enthusiastic, and they have learned a lot over these years of teaching. I want just to say to you that the outcome or the fruits of this work has been the rearing of new spiritual elders amongst young men who have gone throughout Romania to populate their assemblies and teach the Word of God. Now, I won't be as long with the rest of them, or Rowan will not get speaking at all. This is just a little group of believers from this particular seminar that I held with Dr. Gooding. These men love the Savior. These men are dedicated to the propagation of the gospel in Romania. And today, so far as I am concerned, I have nearly more soulmate friends in Romania amongst the brethren than I have in my own native country. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with gospel literature outreach, but Glow Australia have done a tremendous work in Romania. They went into Romania in 1991, and they, over a period of 3 years, they built this complex. They sent out in a huge container a large printing press, and sent a brother and his wife for 1 year. He was a qualified worker, printer. And in 1 year, he built this printing press and trained 3 young Romanian brothers to operate it. That has been foundational work for God. Last year, 2000, those 3 young men completed the task of printing 1 million gospel tracts on that machine. It's now been installed for 6 years. It was second hand, and it very seldom breaks down. If it did, there might be difficulties, but I want you to pray for the printing press. I'll show you it in a moment. The bottom story is the printing press. The top story is kindergarten school. And again, our sister Laurel Moas has spent 6 years coming from Australia to this place and established two kindergarten schools here. One in the morning for 16 children and one in the afternoon for another 16 children. They range from the ages of 3.5 to 7, because the children in Romania don't go to school until they're 7.5. Now this sister poured her life into the establishment and went through endless hours of agony with the government trying to get recognition and registration for these two schools. She also trained 8 young sisters as teachers, 4 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon, working in pairs. Again, I'm so glad to have been able to come just to say this about the work that has been done by the Australians in Romania. We have also in this centre a counselling place where people can come at any time of the day or night in order to be counselled. And there's also a flat and a house attached to the work. So please do remember this work. The Laurel has now left Australia, come back home, and we're very, very thankful that the work is now in the hands of the Romanians. This is the printing press, and this is one of the boys that was trained to use it. Please do remember this work. It's vitally important that you do remember it in prayer, and particularly for the ongoing ability of the machines to cope with the work that they're getting. As well as publishing tracts, when we go to teach in the Bible school, it's done by interpretation or translation. Everything is taken down in the tape, and then the English is removed from it, and then it is printed in booklet form and distributed throughout the country, and it's done on this press. This is one of the new assemblies, buildings which have been built recently. In the goodness of God, I have been able to be involved in the building of 19 of these buildings in the last 10 or 11 years. This one holds 800, and on a large day it is packed to capacity. If you were to go to their prayer meeting on Monday night, you would find 500 people there at the prayer meeting. And if you went to the Bible study on Thursday night, it would be full. We have tried to envisage that perhaps after communism had gone and things might change, that numbers would decrease, but it hasn't happened. I had another letter from Romania just a few weeks ago to say that apart from any special gospel meetings, just ordinary Sunday night gospel meetings, that in the last 3 months 32 people have been saved and 18 have been baptized in 3 months. My brothers and sisters, this is a harvest field today in Romania. Please do remember the harvesters. Now the young people, this is again a group. This brother here is the leader of the work. Here he's Costica Moraro, and he is what I would call Romania's Nehemiah. He has a Bible and he has a sword. And with the sword he did fend off the communistic system very effectively by prayer. And now in days of the revival, he is fending off materialism and other inroads of Western civilization again with the same mighty weapon. But he also has a Bible. And this brother is a very, very adequate teacher of the Scriptures. The difficulty is that in Romania there are too few of them. But these young people are part and soul of my life. I've been involved in camp work there for quite a number of years. And I just want you to remember the up-and-coming boys and girls and young men and young women who are now the up-and-coming evangelists and workers for the Lord in Romania. I've been privileged to be involved in orphanage work, just very, very briefly. Just to mention the fact that 5 years ago we bought this house for £1,000 sterling. Suppose that's what, $2,500 Australian. It wasn't finished. The builder couldn't finish it. He had no more money. So we bought the shell, and now we have added to the back of it 5 more bedrooms and a dining room and a kitchen. And we have now 14 children in this home, run again by the assembly workers. Now again, because of the economic situation in Romania, it means that there are very, very few people to support the work financially. All our work in Romania has got to come from either the Australasia situation or from the West. But we are grateful over the years for the many, many brothers and sisters and assemblies who have been involved in sponsoring the work and looking after its ongoing and its growth. This is just a little oasis in the midst of a desert. Romania is a very, very poor country, and indeed it's marvelous to see these children having the opportunity of coming into a clean and a tidy environment. It's really marvellous to see the way it has been decorated and furnished with their whole well-being in mind. Children are very, very artistic, and on all the walls of this orphanage you see all these paintings done by the teenagers. There's 2 teenagers of 14 in this, and they really are very, very, very artistic. And so instead of having hung up text or stylized text, they have used their imagination, their ingenuity. And I meant to look before I came at 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. If you can think of that and look it up and see what it's all about. Now there's a couple, I know these are only faces to you, but I really do want you to try and take a photograph in your mind of these 2 people. Lydia and George Thornton. Lydia and George. This girl had an exercise to begin a Bible correspondence course, and so she was able to get a second-hand computer, and from Child Evangelism Fellowship courses for children, she adapted a course for adults for the gospel. And they advertised it in the press free, and inside a month they had 2,000 applications for courses. And with a bit of a struggle, they got going 5 years ago. And today there are 21,000 people on the computer broke down. It got so much work to do, they had to try and get a new one. And they managed to get a new one from the state. 21,000 people on this computer. This girl worked from 6 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, opening envelopes. Sometimes her mail is 200 letters per day. She has 3 other helpers. That's her husband, George, but he's an elder in one of the assemblies, and he's the leader of the glow work now that it has become Romanianized. So he has his own assembly, he has the glow work,
and he is helping his wife with the mailbox outreach. There have been many people saved through the mailbox outreach. The assemblies have my problem? I've come to Australia from Great Britain and I'm standing on my head. I couldn't understand the reason, but I know I've discovered it in the last 5 minutes. The radio work is marvelous. There are 5 radio stations owned by believers in Romania, and they are actually working 24 hours a day, 3 of them, in order to propagate the Word of God throughout Romania. Now, this is an alliance of 3 groups of believers from the Pentecostal Church, the Baptist Church, and the Brethren, who have come together in a commercial work a day experience to mount these programs, each have their allotted spaces, and 24 hours a day you can go to Romania, turn on your radio, and you will get a gospel message. This is absolutely remarkable and unique. You can't even get this in the UK. Literature work is still very important, and this is another printing house in Romania. And this lady called Jenny has been an inspiration to me. I met her in communistic days in 1984, living in a little flat on her own, with all the cupboards and the floorboards and the ceilings all having little secret compartments. And in them she had all sorts of little visual aids that she had made, little tracks that she had typed on her typewriter, little toys that she had made from cloth and from it was incredible. And in those communist days, they followed her, the secret police. They went to the government about her. They went to the factory to get her dismissed. But she survived. And when the liberation came, she said to her husband, "I'm going to start a printing press, and I'm going to start a Christian library." And she's done both. And now there are thousands of gospel tracts and booklets going out from this particular center in central Romania. She was actually inspired through reading a book by Brother Andrew on open doors. And one day she got a message through the mail from Holland to say that my name is Jenny, J-E-N-Y, but I have been asked to pray for a Jenny. I prayed. I had it in a dream that I had to pray for somebody called Jenny. And now I have discovered who it is, and so I'm sending you this gift. And she was one of the inspirational silent prayer partners brought even by divine visitation from the Lord direct. There is in Romania what's called AMEC. That's the Association of Evangelical Gospel Outreach Amongst Children. And here are 3 of the AMEC boys. These boys go to college. They begin in the morning at 6:30 in their college. And they work in their college until 12 o'clock. They go home and have something to eat and come back to the gospel hall in Surrette in northern Romania. And they work for 5 hours at the Child Evangelism Fellowship course. And they're opening 100 and 150 letters a day of children who are actually doing the correspondence courses. Then they have to correct them and put them back in envelopes and send the answers back all out throughout northern Romania. So there's the education for you. School 6:30, college 6:30 to lunchtime, and then the rest of your day involved in outreach for the Lord. And not this fellow here is 17. This boy is 16 and a half, and this fellow is 19. Just a little feeling, a little bit of atmosphere of what God can do with young men who totally devote themselves to the Lord. Now we're coming near the end. You will all have heard of Richard Zumbrandt. Well, I had the privilege of going to his school. Christian College, Richard Zumbrandt. Now it's established not only as a college but as a university. And there are 1,500 students at the Richard Zumbrandt University and College, where they get not only a secular education, but where they get a spiritual education, a really ripe harvest field for the gospel. No matter what way you turn in Romania, in Christian circles, you will always find people who are finding ways of finding people for Christ. One of the young men in that college, taking a little group for a music lesson. It was almost 40 degrees, so they took this little group out under the trees in order that they might have his music lesson. The inside of the assembly buildings are slightly different from ours. They put a tremendous emphasis there on baptism. Believe and be baptized is their great message in the gospel. And in all the assemblies, you'll have this dramatized view of the baptistry. It's really the platform area, and then in behind there's an alcove, and they always have these very beautiful pictures of waterfalls and the River Jordan and all other kinds of things as a backdrop to their baptism. I had the privilege of attending just one baptism whenever on one of my visits, and there was 19 being baptized, and the service lasted for 5 hours. It was on the Sunday after the breaking of bread, and they just sat, and what actually happened was that the building was practically full of all the believers. But these people that were being baptized, their families were not believers. So the first 3 rows were reserved for friends. So when man number one was getting baptized, the first group of friends came in from the outside, called by name, and filled the front 3 seats, watched the baptism, had a little gospel message, and then they left, and then the next group came, had a little song, watched the baptism, had a little gospel message, and they left. And then the next group came. It was quite remarkable. I said, this is never going to be over all of this day. But it actually took 5 hours to get it put past. Now, one final slide. They say that every picture tells a story. Well, this one does. Georgie, my wife, and I sometimes take a little 3-day vacation to Dublin, south of Ireland, for a little break. And 2 years ago, we went to a hotel in order that we might have just a 3-day break. And sitting down for our meal in the hotel restaurant on the Sunday, on one of the evenings, this young waiter came along and gave us a menu. And he spoke to us, and the moment he spoke, I said, that boy comes from Romania. He had dark hair, he had dark eyes, and he was so like a Romanian, and he spoke like one. So when he came back, I said to him, from which country do you come? Oh, he said, I come from Romania. I said, I knew that. He said, how did you know? Well, I said, because I visit there. Oh, he said, you visit there? And why do you visit there? Well, I said, I visit there because I'm involved in preaching and teaching in churches. Oh, he said, I know Jesus. I said, do you know Jesus? He said, yes. He said, I came to Romania here 3 years ago with some of my friends, and I got saved here in Dublin. But he says, my mom is not saved. And my grandmom is not saved. And my brothers and my sisters are not saved. And he said, do you think I've joined a cult? And my mama cries on the phone every time I phone her. And every letter I get, she's bemoaning the fact that I'm not an Orthodox Christian anymore. So that was our first introduction. We went back again 6 months later or so, and we found him again in the same restaurant, and he said, I've just been baptized. And he was so full of the joy of the Lord. Then I said to him, well, I'm going to Romania now in September. Oh, he said, could you go and see my mama? Well, I said, where does your mama live? He said, he lives in Roman. Well, I said, we will certainly be traveling through Roman to Moldavia in the north. And he said, could you take my grandma Bible and my mama something to read? He said, I'm praying that God will save them. And so it was in October of a couple of years ago, I was able to take this Bible or so, and the various bits and pieces. I took up 2 courses from the mailbox, and we went up and we found this village, and this was the house. Here's Mama and her father. Now, I think he must have been an alcoholic, because I don't think he was with us for the hour I was there. He was certainly standing in person, but I don't think he ever knew we were there. And this is his brother to the right, who was actually digging sand. But I want you to notice the cassette player thing, and this here. I thought to myself, where and ever did they get that modern thing in here? And she said this, he sent that from Dublin. And you see this table, he sent that from Dublin. And you see these nice pictures on the walls, we got that from Dublin. What actually happened was, he was sending the money that he was making in the hotel, and they were buying things to furnish their house. We left him one afternoon a box of biscuits, just as a little thank you, for he made us a lovely lunch in his basement flat in Dublin. So we left him this box of biscuits for a little thank you. They ended up in Romania. He sent them to his mama. I'm eternally grateful to the Lord for his goodness to me and giving me the wonderful privilege of being able to go to Romania. And God willing, this September or October, as the way opens up, I would like to go back again. And I want you to pray now that the Lord of the harvest will not only raise up the 55 precious, but many, many others to go into this harvest field until the day dawns and the Savior comes and the shout arise and we together with him arise to see our loved ones in the sky together in that marvelous, marvelous universe that he is going to prepare for us.